Merry Christmas, and welcome to the December 2022 edition of Outbeat News in Depth. I'm Greg Moralia. We're really happy you're with us tonight on this special day, and we have a very special guest to share. Brian Ruby is a professional baseball player, a singer-songwriter of country music, and was named recently by Out Magazine as one of the 2022 Out 100. He's here with us on Christmas Day to share his story and his music, including a just-released original Christmas song. It's perfect. So stay with us. It's all coming up next, right after your Outbeat Radio news for this Sunday, December 25th, 2022. I'd love to change the world, but I don't know what to do. This is Greg Moralia with your Outbeat Radio news for the week of December 25th, 2022. Earlier this month, the Congressional LGBTQI Plus Equality Caucus released its inaugural report on the conditions of LGBTQ Plus people in the United States. The report was spearheaded by the caucus's chair, Republican David Cicilline, with the intention to educate the public on the significant disparities LGBTQ Plus people experience and serve as a benchmark by which the country can judge its progress on the LGBTQ Plus rights civil rights movement. Unsurprisingly, it shows how LGBTQ plus people face disproportionate challenges in every single area. It highlights, for example, a GLSEN survey that found that 74.2% of K-12 transgender students say they feel unsafe in school due to their gender, and that 76.1% of LGBTQ plus students who attended any portion of school in person during the last school year endured verbal harassment due to their LGBTQ plus identity. It also cites a 2020 Trevor Project survey that found that 28% of LGBTQ plus youth between the ages of 13 and 24 had been homeless or experienced housing insecurity at some point. And the list of disparities goes on. Cicilline added that with the increasing rise of violence against LGBTQ plus people and the growing number of anti-LGBTQ plus bills being introduced at the state and federal level, it's especially critical that at all levels of government, that people work together to ensure true lived equality for all LGBTQ plus people. The end of the report also lists congressional actions that the Equality Caucus and the broader House of Representatives have taken to advance LGBTQ plus equality. The list included the passage of the Respect for Marriage Act, which was just signed into law earlier this month, as well as the passage of a law designating the Pulse nightclub as a national memorial. The report also touted the Equality Caucus's role in providing feedback to the Biden administration on two proposed rules that clarified anti-LGBTQ plus discrimination protections in education and health care. And here in California, according to the Bay Area Reporter, newly sworn-in gay Assemblymember Rick Zibber, who represents West Hollywood, is making LGBTQ school issues a priority during his freshman year in the California legislature. It was a top concern of his when he led the statewide LGBTQ advocacy organization, Equality California. Just after taking his oath of office on December 5th, Zibber introduced Assembly Bill 5, which will mandate that teachers and credentialed staff in the state's public schools take an online LGBTQ cultural competency training course. While as executive director of Equality California, Zibber worked on passing similar legislation to create training sessions for educators in the state on how to support LGBTQ students in grades K through 12. But former Governor Jerry Brown vetoed the bill, citing it cost too much. A year later, Governor Gavin Newsom signed into law reintroduced legislation instructing the California Department of Education to create a training program, but didn't provide any funding for it. In his 2021 budget proposal, Governor Newsom included the $3 million needed to build out the online course. Zibber said that his bill is needed to make sure that school administrators make use of this training. And as we look back at some of the big stories from 2022, there's no doubt that two of them happened this fall, one tragedy and one celebration. The November mass shooting at the Club Q in Colorado reminded all of us that hate and violence directed at the LGBTQ plus community remains a significant worry for us all. But love can win. This month, we celebrated the historic signing of the Federal Respect of Marriage Act that eliminated the former Federal Defense of Marriage Act and now ensures recognition of marriage equality in the law, away from the touch of conservative and a seemingly anti-LGBTQ Supreme Court. Vice President Kamala Harris said, quote, "For millions of LGBTQI plus Americans and interracial couples, this is a victory, and it's part of a larger fight. The Dobbs decision reminds us that the fundamental rights are interconnected, including the right to marry who you love and the right to access contraception and the right to make decisions about your own body, end quote. And President Biden said, quote, "It's one thing for the Supreme Court to rule on a case, but it's another thing entirely for elected representatives of the people to take a vote on the floor of the United States Congress and say loudly and clearly, love is love, right is right, justice is justice," end quote. For Outbeat Radio News, I'm Greg Moraglia. But I don't know what to do. Our guest tonight is Brian Ruby. He's a professional baseball player and country music star. Not the mix of jobs you would think would also include being an out gay man. But Brian is just that. And he's made it his personal mission to inspire and support others in professional baseball to come out and start living an authentic life. Now, if you're a country music fan, you are likely going to be absolutely enchanted by Brian's deep voice. He's been writing music for years and more recently started producing his own music, including a new original Christmas song for this season. I met Brian last October at the Matthew Shepard Foundation annual dinner and knew he would be the perfect guest for today's show. Brian, welcome to the show.
Thank you. Thanks for having me on.
Fantastic to have you on this very special day and to hear some of your music. But first, I want to give our audience a chance to know one of Out 100's 100. whatever that title is. Tell us about yourself. Where did you grow up?
I grew up in Pennsylvania originally. I haven't lived there for almost a decade now, but that's where I'm from. Montgomery County, which is eastern Pennsylvania, Philadelphia area. And, you know, I'm still a Philadelphia sports fan, Phillies, Eagles, you know, the drill. It kind once you bleed green, it never really leaves you. So that's me from PA.
Now,
live in Nashville now, though.
Yes, yes, big music scene. And I read that you came out publicly in 2021, but when did you first discover who you were?
I mean, I've known from a very early age that I was different, like playing baseball, definitely felt there was something deep down that was different than my friends on the team, even from Little League and from American Legion ball, you know, when I was 13 or 14, right about puberty when, when, you know, the guys start to talk about girls and I realized that I'm not quite as interested as everybody else seems to be. And that's kind of when I knew. It took me years before I really confronted it. I was in denial for a while. Had girlfriends and dated girls in high school and early in college. And eventually at 21, decided to come out to my immediate family and friends, and slowly but surely came out to more people kind of step by step. Eventually my baseball team and came out publicly in an article in USA Today during the 2021 summer baseball season. So at that point was the only active player who was out and proud. The coolest thing for me, we just had another guy come out the other day, TJ House.
Right, I read that.
Yeah, it was really exciting. There's been, I think, five or six guys who have come out in the year 14 months since, you know, 14, 15 months. It's really not a long time. We went from zero out players at any level in baseball publicly to now there's like five or six that are actively playing. Some college kids came out, some pro guys, you know, TJ, who's retired, but still very much super meaningful because he's the third major leaguer to come out after retiring. You know, we've never had an active major league ball player who's in the middle of his career come out, but I'm sure it's going to happen. And my organization, Proud to Be in Baseball, it's a nonprofit that I founded, 501c3 nonprofit. You can find it at proudtobeinbaseball.org. They're a really positive group, and we do a bunch of things that try to promote LGBTQ plus inclusion in baseball. And
that's awesome.
It's working. And we can't claim, you know, like that we're solely responsible for all those people, but I really do think like going to talking to players, talking to teams, it's helping. And it's still, we still have a ways to go. There's 16 million people that play baseball in the U.S. So talking about five or six out players, sure, still not a lot. There's, statistically speaking, you know, baseball's a game of statistics. There's a whole lot more than five or six, but we're getting there, and it's really cool to be a part of that change.
Well, yeah, I think it's amazing. It really is amazing. In the article I wrote about TJ, he talked about being inspired by the Federal Protection for Marriage Act. So there was an event perhaps that inspired him. Was there something that inspired you to make the decision to come out?
I guess I was just really tired of trying to live this double life, on the field versus off the field. You know, my teammates knew me as this baseball playing, country music singing, kind of masculine man who, I guess just, it was a lot to keep up a double life, and I didn't want to hide anymore. Felt like I was living a lie. You know, I was so ashamed for so long of how I felt and who I am deep down. And a big part of it for me was just growing to love who I am, you know, and be proud of who I am. That's why our organization now is called Proud to Be in Baseball. We're proud to be in playing baseball actively and proud to be in the LGBT community. And those things aren't mutually exclusive. So I would say there wasn't one specific thing that really spurred it. Really growing up, like it just kind of eventually happened for me, but the part that there was a specific event that spurred me coming out publicly, which is funny, like that's when most of the people really heard about me. I've kind of just been doing my thing for years and have been out privately to many people for, for almost 5 years before I came out publicly. So I was very adjusted to living in the LGBT community in my day-to-day life. But the event that inspired it when I decided to come out publicly is I had an old baseball coach tell me that they were totally comfortable with me, but if I ever said anything publicly, if I ever posted a picture on Instagram, then I would lose my job and never be able to get a job in baseball again, and my career would be over. God. And you know, simply posting a picture during Pride Month or a picture with my boyfriend, we've been together for 3 years, so you know, we're in love and everything, and that was really hard. And it's actually, you know, I'm wearing this Christmas stuff today. We're talking on Christmas, but it was in Christmas 2020 where I was at my boyfriend Max's parents' house for the first time ever for a family holiday. It's kind of like a
big deal,
a big moment.
It is
my personal life, first time. And you know, you go to, they're a part of the family now. I'm a part of the family, and we took this great picture, me, him, and his mom under the Christmas tree. And I opened up Instagram to post it, and I just felt like, you know, the words of that old baseball coach came back into my mind, and I thought, if I ever post this picture, I'm never going to be able to play again. And so I didn't. And that really ate at me over the coming months into 2021. And at the time, I didn't have a contract. I was in between contracts looking for a spot to play the 2021 season. I found a spot to play up in Oregon for the Salem Kaiser Volcanoes in 2021. And I decided, you know what, I'm just going to do this. It's time. I'm proud of who I am. And I really hated the fact that when I was a kid, I Googled gay baseball player and I couldn't find a single person like me. And I just decided, you know, was always waiting for that major leaguer to come out and things to get better. And I decided I just got to take the bull by the horns and just do this myself.
Wow.
And other people will follow. If I do it and I successfully keep my job and continue playing, then it'll create opportunities for others.
That's awesome.
who can take the reins and run farther than I could. You know, I'm just a journeyman ball player. I'm not the best baseball player in the world by any means. I'm 27 and still very lucky to still be going, still be playing. But I understood that, you know, we needed to start somewhere. And especially in this day and age when we've made so much progress in the LGBT community, and they call baseball America's pastime, and we're way past time for LGBTQ plus inclusion in the sport.
Yeah, I think that's a great way to describe it. You know, a lot of what you said resonated with me. When I think back to my story, you know, seventh grade, it was very clear to me, but that was back in a time when you just couldn't be out. And then I got involved in law enforcement, which very much like baseball and country music is a hyper-masculine and still very unaccepting environment. And so it does, but that hiding that wears on you. It really wears on you. And I just think it's great that you've created this organization and that you're inspiring now other people to come out because they see a positive example in you. It's fantastic. And I hope more people will see your website and your story and say, okay, now's my time.
Thank you.
Now's my time. Yeah, that's really awesome.
You know, it's Christmas, so there's a lot to be thankful for. And it's not just me. It's we have a whole team of people that help us out with the charity, volunteers from all around the country when we go do different events. There's so much to be thankful for. Thankful to my teammates as well for accepting me and the coaching staff and letting me continue to play baseball. And, you know, there's a lot has changed in the last couple of years, and we want to keep pushing the ball forward in baseball.
Yeah, that's great. Well, what about your family? Family is such a key part of, you know, having the courage and confidence to be yourself. How did they react to your story?
My family was cool. They knew that, you know, I'd been out for a few years before the story hit. So when the story hit, they had my back big time. Everybody was a little bit surprised at the amount that it got picked up. Like, I remember waking up the next day and opening up my phone, and I had 6,000 notifications on my phone. Completely, completely overwhelming. But Max flew out to watch the game, to be there in the stands for my first game publicly out, you know, because I was a little bit cautious, didn't know what was going to happen. My parents were super supportive. They've welcomed him into our family with open arms. And, you know, I've really been lucky compared to a lot of people. And I think some of my family members might have been a little surprised. I hit it. Or at least I like to think I hit it well. They've met, you know, my ex-girlfriends and stuff in high school and college, but I think they were happy for me because they saw on a day-to-day basis that I'm happier. And
sure.
You know, now I live authentically and brought more positivity and enjoyment to life.
Yeah. And I would imagine when you brought Max home to meet them, that there was a twinkle in your eye. There was a level of excitement that they'd probably never seen before.
Yeah. I think so. They love him as much as I do. You know, he's a part of the family. He came to Thanksgiving this year. I'm going to see his mom soon and his parents, and his parents just met my parents, which was a little bit scary, but exciting. And
that's scary no matter who you are. I'm sorry.
Yeah.
That's just a big moment, right?
Yeah, it was.
You know, I think the intersectionality, we often talk about it in terms of race and religion and so forth with sexual orientation, but I just think it's fascinating to think about the intersectionality you have. Professional baseball player, I mean, you mentioned this before, country music singer-songwriter, and an out gay man.
Yeah.
Talk about, I mean, you discovered, I think, an interest, it sounds like, in baseball before you discovered or really identified who you were.
Yeah.
Where did that passion come from? Where did that passion for music come from? And then when you realized who you were, was there a collision?
Yeah, definitely was a little bit trippy. I've been playing baseball for a while. You know, it's been really over two decades since I first picked up a bat. My dad was a ball player. He was a pitcher back in the day, back in the dinosaur era, as I like to say. He was a pitcher, and he got me my first baseball bat, little foam bat that I would swing in the driveway and, you know, growing up and play wiffle ball and stuff. And I guess I did that for years before I knew anything about sexuality. Mm-hmm. You know, playing baseball was always just a huge part of who I was and who I am.
So. Sure.
And country music, same thing. Like if you ever go to a ball game, you notice country music's on at the ballpark. And they always kind of went hand in hand for me. I started playing guitar, and baseball, there was always a lot of pressure around it. My family's all athletic. We're all athletes, college and pro athletes. But baseball was always, you know, pressure packed, but music was always my thing. And like, even to this day, when we're playing ball, I have my guitar on the team bus. Mm-hmm. Like, I'll play on the road trips. I'll play at the hotel. I'll play in our downtime. I'll Skype in, go on Zoom and Skype with songwriters in Nashville to try to write songs in the morning. Because, you know, on weekdays, we don't have to be at the ballpark until a couple hours before game time. So we have all morning, and I'm an active, energetic guy. I'm definitely a morning person. So I get up and I write songs. And it's true, there's been a lot of intersectionality, is a good term for it. A lot of sort of identity crisis things with me, just kind of coming to grips with the different parts of me. And all of these seem to be worlds where you don't see a lot of LGBTQ plus people like out and proud in the mainstream publicly in baseball, and
right,
a little more in country music than baseball. So, you know, it was a decision that I made, like when I was coming out, was I really want to keep in these worlds. Like, these are the things that I'd love to do. I don't think in this day and age you should have to lose your job. It sucks because this happens all the time. People still do, but I really didn't want to lose my job just because of who I love and who I date. You know, I love country music. I love baseball. So it's always been a little tough kind of navigating both of those worlds, but it's really, you know, it can be intimidating to think about. Like, sometimes when I'm really down, I'll think about how few country stars we have who are out and proud, how few baseball players we have, and how it feels like an uphill climb. But, you know, I just try to take a step back and think about, like, we've made so much progress in the last few years, and I just kind of have to keep waking up and going to work in both of those things. And when you think about it in the macro, it's intimidating, but when you think about it day by day, you just got to think about what can I do to get through the day,
right,
you know, with the people that I'm surrounded by in person, not the people online, but the people who are here, you know, on the ground doing the job. So that's kind of, I try to hyper-focus in on those things, and it's enabled me to survive in both of those worlds.
Well, that leads me to a great question. You know, I think there's a stereotype around baseball and country music and LGBT people. But you know, inside, and you've had reaction from your colleagues, the perception outside, or the stereotype outside, is that it's not an accepting place. And you said, you know, baseball is getting better. What about country music? And what about baseball from an insider's perspective? Is it more accepting than people think?
Certainly both of them have those reputations of being a little old school, slow to evolve. I really think in this day and age, just from being in those worlds, like, most people today in 2022, almost 23, at least know someone in the LGBTQ community.
Right.
Or they know of someone, even if they, in the rare occasions that they don't know someone in their personal life, they'll at least will have seen someone on TV or social media. So it's not so much of a foreign concept anymore. One thing that I realized, I kind of thought, like you said, I thought myself that both of those would be homophobic worlds. And I would hear comments with sort of degrading jokes about LGBT people, like kind of macho stuff in the locker room before I came out. And I think because the guys kind of thought that those were, that made them cool to say that kind of stuff. It sort of, for the most part, naturally disappeared after coming out, which was really cool to see. I think I didn't even have to really say anything. I think they realized, like, okay, we can't really say this stuff anymore. And once they realized that one of us is one of them, you know, it's they're no longer two very separate things. It's, you know, they recognize that being accepting is a helpful thing to do, to be a good teammate or a good bandmate. If we're talking mm-hmm. about music or, you know, anything, it's people surprise you. And as long as you're working hard, I would say, like, I give a lot of advice to younger ball players, and I would say just prove yourself as a ball player first. And if they respect you as a ball player, they'll respect you as a person. And same thing with music. You know, if they respect you as a songwriter, they'll respect you as a person.
Yeah. Yeah. Good advice. Well, and do you think that you underestimated your colleagues? I mean, I know I did. I was so fearful of being rejected. And I almost feel bad about that now, having such little faith in them. What about you?
Yeah, I think so. I think I definitely expected the worst. I wasn't sure when I came out if I was going to get hit with a 93-mile-an-hour fastball in the head. Like, I didn't know. And the guys they surprise you. Like, even to this day, I'll go play shows, and I'm always a little bit wary. Like, if we're playing music, like I had a gig the other night, and there were a couple, like, real tough-looking country boys in the audience, and you know, I played some songs about coming out, and it's always a little bit of a vulnerable topic, but they came up to me afterwards, and they didn't really connect to those ones, but they connected to some of the more rockin' country rock songs, and they were like, you know, keep going, man. We love your music. And
oh,
so
wow. Nice.
They respected it. So it was cool to see that. And I mean, they will surprise you. I think if you're, you know, people respect authenticity.
Mm-hmm.
And no matter who you are, and I think that that's a really special thing.
Well, you're a living example of your own advice, right? Be good at what you do, and the rest will come.
I don't know. I guess I'm trying to just get better at songwriting and keep improving. And, you know, I recognize I'm not the best songwriter in the world, but I do dream about one day writing a hit country song and continuing to progress in that. So hopefully one day that'll be true.
Well, I have no doubt. I listened to a couple of your songs after meeting you, and I got really excited. I thought, oh my gosh, this guy we're going to see him on the Grammys. We're going to see him on the Grammys.
Right now we're playing the bars and the honky tonk, so we're a little bit smaller than the Grammys.
Okay, well, that's the road to the Grammys, right?
Yeah,
let's talk about your music a bit. What inspires the words?
I guess just growing up, like, it's a similar thing with baseball. Like, I didn't really see anybody like me in country music, and I was always a big country music fan. So I've been here in Nashville for about 3 years now and writing songs for other artists, primarily just working as a songwriter. But I finally decided after I came out, you know, I'm going to release music now. I'm going to tell my story. And these songs, I'm not chasing after fame or fortune really with the songs. I'm not making what I think is going to be popular. I'm just making songs with the message that I wish I could have heard as a kid by someone like me in country music, and singing loud and singing proud and singing songs that I love. And that's really what I hope to continue doing. And long after I'm done playing baseball, I still have a little bit of time left in baseball, but when I'm done, I'm just going to come back here to Nashville and keep going and sing songs that are true to me. And I really didn't know what to expect as an artist this year, releasing my first songs, for the first time. Like in June, I dropped my first single called Left Field and got picked up by Sirius XM, Country Pride, ACM, Academy of Country Music, Ultimate Pride Playlist, like some really amazing, surprising things for a first-time artist. And I put out a couple songs since then, just put out a Christmas song, which I'm sure we can talk about a little bit later, but it's been a journey and it's going somewhere. I don't really know where yet, but the train's rolling.
It is. And I want to help move that train a bit. I want to talk about Standouts. That was the one that caught my ear right away.
Awesome.
Tell us about that song and then we'll let our listeners hear it.
Cool. The Standouts was a song that I wrote for my grandpa. He is kind of like my hero and, you know, served our country overseas, is retired, proud U.S. military. My mom was born overseas on an army base, raised a family of five kids. He started up a small business, still kicking today. He's in his 80s, and nobody's really ever done anything for him. And so he's a real standout to me. And also wrote for my little sister, who's a middle school math teacher. You know, somebody who's working really hard. And it was a cool song because people have responded to it and sent me messages about the people who are standouts in their lives. And, you know, that's the song. It's a positive country music song. And that's the Standouts.
Nothing to give. Is the kid sitting alone in lunch who's kind to everyone, even when the world ain't kind to him? The I have a dreamers with the nerve to say we're equal. The helping believers, life changing kind of people. Here's to the standouts.
Different, but if no one's still-
Well, you must have a really crazy busy schedule between, you know, practicing, playing games, writing music, doing concerts. What are some of the most memorable events, games or concerts, locations, the things that really stand out to you?
That's a good one. Most memorable game for me, we actually had a really tough game in the Guatemala Professional Winter Baseball League back in 2020 into 21. And was competing against some really talented ball players down there in the championship game. That was really memorable for me. Other memories that stick out, you know, certain concerts growing up that really hooked me on country music. And recently just getting to play, you know, we played a fundraiser for our nonprofit in New York at Rockwood Music Hall. Mm. And we had so many of our supporters there. We had a packed house. We raised some money that we're going to use to go talk to younger ball players and get us around the country in 2023 coming up. So there's been, you know, I have memories of my first date with my boyfriend was at a concert, and we've been together ever since. So there's definitely a lot of positive memories that stand out around music and baseball for me.
Wow. Is that where you met? Is it a concert?
We had met before, but our first official date was at a concert. We had met about a week prior, but I asked him, I said, I have an extra ticket. Do you want to come? And he was like, okay. And, you know, that was our first official date. We went out for dinner beforehand, and, you know, it was a really cool first date. And we've been together for 3 years.
That's awesome. Who was the performer?
Oh, Cher.
Of course.
Yeah. It wasn't country music. No, it was a pop singer that I knew gave me free tickets to Cher. And I was like, I got free tickets, then let me see who I can take. And I was like, I think I'm going to ask this guy who I just met last week and see what he says. And he said yes. And we had a great time. And, you know, we were some of the younger people there. Our fan base definitely skews a little bit older than mid-20s. But we knew a lot of the songs, and we had a great time. It was a lot of fun.
That was meant to be. Come on.
Yeah.
That was meant to be.
Yeah.
Tell me about being part of the Out 100. How did that come about? And, you know, when you got the phone call, what was that like?
Yeah, that was really, really humbling for me to be included in such a prestigious list for this past year. It was crazy. There was actually three baseball players who were in the list, which I don't know if that's ever happened. Me, Solomon Bates, who's a current independent league player, trying to latch back on with the minor league team, came out this past season. Mm. A woman who's in her 90s who played in the All-American Girls Professional Baseball League back when, you know, like the movie, A League of Their Own. That's what it was based on. And, you know, she recently just came out in her 90s. So it was really an awesome grouping of athletes to be in the thing with. I was surprised they included so many baseball players and that I got onto that list. And really, I guess with all of the, you know, with the accolades and the attention, it's cool, but that's not why I did this, why I came out, why I started a charity. I really just, anytime one of those things comes in, I just want to sort of redirect the attention to what can we do to help improve the environment in baseball and other sports for LGBTQ athletes and keep making progress. And if there's any type of legacy that I would like to leave in the sport, it's just somebody who really tried to stand up and fight for what they believe in and try to make a better environment for people like me. It was really an honor to be included in that.
I imagine. And I understand what you're talking about, you know, staying focused on the mission, but that has to have helped, because I think one of the challenges, especially with running a newer nonprofit, is just getting the word out about it and getting the word about you and your story, right? Because that's what you're trying to do, is get the word out as an example to inspire others. What happened with the Out 100 award, that recognition, Did you see an explosion of interest and awareness about you?
Yeah. I mean, actually, every time that something happens like that, whether it's a press or an interview like this, like we never know. We always say, like when we have our meetings at the charity, we never know who is going to contact us, because LGBTQ is something that transcends geography and race and ethnicity.
That's right.
And it's there. I mean, you never know who it's going to be. Mm-hmm. And anytime we do something, whether it's an event in person or an interview or other press or like the award that you just mentioned, we have people reach out. And so we got a couple. We never know who's going to be. And usually they'll email us afterwards, or they'll message us on social media, fill out the form on our website. But we got some from that. And with all of the people that contact us, we are just trying to figure out the best ways to kind of group everybody and actually begin to form a community. So it's challenging. There's a lot of stuff that goes on behind the scenes, and like getting the paperwork in order, for example, to file a 501c3 with the IRS.
Oh, so tell me about it. Tell me about it.
Yeah. Tough cookie. It took a lot of time and had to get a lawyer and everything, and it was costly, but we did it and we believed in it, and it's only going to grow from here.
Yeah. Yeah. There's no doubt about that. What are some of the cool things you've been able to do related to the Out Magazine 100?
Yeah. Just go to a lot of Pride nights. We continue to go. I mean, it's sort of downtime right now on baseball, but this past summer, it was really a crazy summer for me. I traveled 75,000 miles, like going to different Pride events and meeting people, conferences, spoke at the NLGJA convention, went to the Matthew Shepard Foundation's thing in Denver. That was really cool. Got to go to the National LGBT Task Force event in Miami. That was really cool. And our fundraiser in New York, and really just traversed, you know, some bigger stuff and a lot of smaller stuff, going to high schools, going to colleges, speaking to young people, speaking to athletes, telling my story. I'm starting to write a book that's slowly coming along. It's going to be a while, but you know, it's a big effort.
Yeah.
But usually I'm used to writing a 3-minute song, and you can crank one of those out pretty quickly compared to a couple hundred pages for a book.
Yes. I know that one too. Yeah.
Yeah.
But you know, don't underestimate the value of that book. It's just another medium for people to learn about you and your story and to inspire folks.
Absolutely.
I set a goal, if I could just inspire one person to come out and find happiness in law enforcement, then I'd be successful. And I think a book like yours, with your story and the audience that you're trying to reach, that's going to be very powerful. So it'll be well worth the time and effort, for sure.
Thank you. Yeah. I'm excited. I have a great co-author. His name's Andrew Marinus, New York Times bestselling author, lives here in Nashville, works at Vanderbilt. So he's like 10 minutes away from my house, which is really nice. And he even lets me come sometimes eat for free at the Vanderbilt athlete cafeteria, which is nice to get a free meal here and there. Let me go back to college and be an SEC athlete. That's fun. Yeah. But it's a project that we have coming up in 2023 and maybe into 2024, but it's going to be another really nice moment.
Yeah, that's fantastic. You know, a lot of celebrities, when they come out, find a place in activism, and then others just don't want anything to do with it. They don't want that. Maybe they're afraid of having that identity be, you know, too much for them or too much a part of their life. As you look out beyond baseball, you talked about country music really being a focus for you. Where do you see your future in activism with our community?
I honestly sort of got labeled as an activist. I consider myself to be more of an accidental activist. I have never been the type of person to really, you know, scream and shout about stuff. My style in baseball was, you know, I got to keep my job and do it from within. And I think actions speak louder than words sometimes. And just continuing to answer your question, where I see myself is just continuing to be an example of someone doing good stuff in baseball and writing songs and country music with that inclusive message, like I mentioned. As far as activism, I would love to help create the environment where a bunch of other ball players are comfortable coming out. There are LGBT athletes on every team of every sport at every level around the world. Always have been, always will be.
Sure.
It's up to some of us who are out to help push that environment forward and fight to ensure protections in the workplace for people like us. And that's a huge thing that I want to keep fighting for. And that's really where I see my future of accidental activism, is just fighting for what I believe in and being a positive example of someone who can be in these worlds, can be in baseball and country music, and keep going and keep doing what they love.
Yeah. I think art is the really powerful medium for that too. And your art and music is going to be a great path for that. So
yeah.
Awesome.
You can, you know, it's with music, like you can almost trick people into being inclusive. Like if they like the song, like I was saying with the country boys at the bar the other night, like they were rocking along to the song. They were drinking and having a good time. And you know, that's what we do in country music. And if they can be more open to someone like me after hearing me rock out, you know, with the band at a bar, for example, and that helps them maybe take a different look at LGBT people than what they've seen on TV, you know, what they've been told or in social media, and really, you know, once you know someone like you who's part of the community, it helps advance the ball forward.
Yep. Awesome. Well, talk about this Christmas song. It's beautiful.
Thank you.
What inspired you with that song, and tell us about it?
Yeah, it's called Christmas With You, and it's available on all platforms. I wrote it actually over the summer with my friends, Chad Sellers, David, Kaylee, and Kristen. There's a group of five of us who wrote the song together. I was going through a long stretch on the road. Like I mentioned, I traveled 75,000 miles this year. It's crazy, crazy year of just being on the road. And I thought, man, I can't wait to get home for Christmas and to see the family and the loved ones. And maybe it's a little bit of a weird thing to think about in July, August, but it was what I was thinking about. And it's like, you know what? Let's write a Christmas song today. Like I mentioned, during baseball, if I have a game at night, I'll try to write a song on Zoom or Skype with people back in Nashville. So the song was actually written on Zoom over the summer months. And I've always sent a Christmas email to my email list fan club with a cover song that I've done just sort of privately. And I thought, you know what? I'm a official recording artist this year, I guess, now. So I guess I have the right to release one publicly for the first time. And I got to do a duet last year with a pop artist here in Nashville. Her name's Cassandra. That was a Christmas song, but really wanted to do something of my own for this year and something that was true to me. And that's Christmas With You. It's been streaming for a couple weeks now, and we got a few more days to play it this year before we turn the page and go into 2023.
Fantastic. Well, let's take a listen to it right now. Here is Christmas With You from Brian Ruby.
Garlands on table, presents on the tree. Weatherman says the snow might be falling this Christmas Eve. Lights outside are twinkling, but I'm out here on the road. I can't wait to hold you close when I get home. I'd be a stone cold liar. I don't care about stockings by the fire. If I said I want to go shopping, I'd be a stone cold liar. Oh, I don't care about the decorating or all the holiday food. All I want to do is spend my Christmas with you. Hanging stockings by the fire. Or if I said I want to go shopping,
Well, let's talk about what's coming up in 2023. New Year's Day is just a few days away now. What's on the horizon for you?
We have a big year planned. I mean, I'm going to lay low for a couple days. Definitely going to appreciate the last little bit of holidays. And then as soon as the page turns towards 2023, we're going to pump the gas. You know, we are getting ready for a big event here in Nashville called the American Baseball Coaches Association Convention, which is a grouping of 3,000 to 5,000 baseball coaches, depending on the year, who all kind of converge on one place for a conference. This year, it happens to be in Nashville, which is where our charity's headquartered. So we're going to go speak to as many baseball coaches as we possibly can at the convention. We're going to hand out stuff, flyers on LGBTQ inclusion. You know, we're going to make points of contact with baseball coaches from all around the world and start going, follow up after the convention and start going to some of those places and working with them to improve the environment. So a really grassroots effort. It's all about to happen. This is the first weekend of that's January 5th to 8th. And it's so I'm really excited for that. I'm getting ready to go speak at the Naples Pride Center in Florida. Early in 2023, I'm speaking at Vanderbilt in mid-January. And in February, we're going to the Creating Change Conference.
Yeah, right. That's here in San Francisco.
Yeah, so I'll be out west. I'm excited to, you know, check out wine country, check out the Castro. I've been there, been once, and I love it. You know, I'm really excited for the Creating Change Conference. National LGBT Task Force puts on a really good event. I've never been, but I've been told about it, and I'll be there in a few weeks. So if you're listening today, you know, if you want to come to the conference, you can meet me right there and we'll work on making progress in the for LGBTQ rights and all the stuff in all of our different worlds, whether it's baseball or country music or you know, education or whatever. It all kind of converges at the conference and I'm excited to be a part of it.
That's fantastic. I'm hoping to be at that conference as well. But in the meantime, where can people go to follow you and learn about your music?
Yeah, so it's Brian Ruby Official on social media, Instagram, Twitter, or not Twitter, Instagram, TikTok, Facebook, all the things, YouTube. It's Brian with a Y, Ruby with a Y, BrianRubyMusic.com. And for the charity, that's where we have Twitter. We're at Proud Baseball on Twitter and Proud to Be in Baseball on Instagram and Facebook. ProudToBeInBaseball.org is our site. Any type of donations, you know, it all goes towards helping young LGBT athletes live their truths and play authentically, and anything's greatly appreciated, whether it's $5 or 10 or whatever. You know, I promise it'll go to good use. And if you're at a baseball game and you happen to see Proud to Be in Baseball volunteers, come up and say hi to us. You know, if you want to order some Proud to Be in Baseball merchandise, we have that too on the website. Wear it loud, wear it proud at the ballpark. And that's us. Thank you so much for having me on today.
That's awesome. And if you missed any of those websites, we'll have them on our own website at outbeatnews.com. Just click on show notes at the top of the page. We've been talking with quite an amazing guy. One of Out Magazine's 100 from 2022, Brian Ruby. Merry Christmas to you.
Thank you. Merry Christmas. Thanks for having me on.
And that wraps up our Christmas show and our last show for 2022. Be sure to tune in next Sunday night on New Year's Day for Outbeat Radio's Living Proof with Sheridan Gold and Dr. Diana Greyer. That's at 8 p.m. and only here on KRCB Radio. And on behalf of the entire Outbeat Radio team, Happy New Year, and thanks for spending your Sunday night with us. Outbeat News in Depth is hosted and produced by Greg Moralia. Our shows are available for on-demand play anytime on our website at outbeatnews.com and on iTunes, Google Play, Stitcher, TuneIn, and now on iHeartRadio. Find links to subscribe at outbeatnews.com.
I'd love to change the world, but I don't know what to do. So I give it up to you.
You're broken down and tired of living life on a merry-go-round, and you can't find a fighter, but I see it in you, so we're gonna walk it out.
Support for Outbeat Radio on KRCB-FM comes from listeners and from Rocky, the free-range chicken, and Rosie, the original organic chicken. Air-chilled, non-GMO, locally raised right here in Sonoma County with no antibiotics ever. More information is available at rockyandrosie.com. You're listening to 104.9 KRCB-FM Roanoke Park and KRCG-FM Windsor, Sonoma County's NPR station. It's 9 p.m. Stay with us. Beale Street Caravan is next.